Did you all have a good lunch? Well, we got a few more sessions this afternoon, and it seems this day has gone so fast by. It was really special for me that I got to be with you, and I think I will have a few more friends now in different places. This afternoon, we will look at a portion of the Word of God that is in the Psalms. Now, in a month from now, we will have Thanksgiving dinner. And many of us will have the turkey roasting, and it will be wonderful. For me, it was new when I came first to the United States. And some of our people in the office would invite us. Of course, later on, I thought it was a wonderful holiday, and I like to cook a turkey myself. But I remember during some of these times, my husband was traveling, and we would go to one of our office staff, and she would cook so many wonderful things. But before we could eat them, they had this basket, and we would all sit on the table, and there were little kernels of corn in, and each one has to take one and say something we thank God for. And of course, my kids were little, they were eager for the turkey to come. But it was a wonderful thing. You know, each of us would say something that we were thankful for. Now, I do not know how you celebrate Thanksgiving, but the Bible has to say a lot about thanking God. It seems to be very important in God's mind. And when you read Romans 3, there is a lot that God is saying that people did wrong, and one of it was they did not thank Him. Now, when we look at our life, and we look especially at our prayers, we ask a lot from God every day. Bless me, bless my kids, bless my grandchildren, give me this, help me at the job. And we ask a lot, but we really thank little. The thanking part in our prayers is usually that small, and the asking part is that long. And then sometimes when we are in some desperate situation, we tell the Lord, Lord, if you just answer this one prayer, I will thank you every day for the rest of my life. You know, like some of you go to college and you have an exam or something coming up, and you pray, Lord, please, please let me pass, and I will thank you forever. Or some of you mothers, your child is very sick, and you pray, Lord, please heal my child, and I will never ask you for anything else in my life. Or some of you may pray, please give me a husband, a nice one, and I will be so thankful. And we do thank the Lord when we receive His gift, you know. We will thank Him maybe every day for the first week. And then the next week we thank Him every other day. And then once a month. And then two times a year, and then we forget. Now, God's word says, Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. None. I'm I don't know how old you are, but I'm 60 years old. And if I think back about my life, there were so many thousands of things God done for me. And I only remember the highlights, the biggest mountaintops when he answered me. Yet God's word says, I suppose not to forget any of it. You know, most of us probably forget 95% of what God is doing for us along the way of our life. Now, every day he is with us. Every day he loves us. Every day he provides for us. He leads us. He helps us. He comforts us. We don't even count these things. We only count the big things. Yet, God says not to forget any of his benefits. Now, when we read God's word, we find that the Israelites remembered the great things God did for them. We forget, but these Israelites, they, from the very beginning of their nation, from the time from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and David, and all these different things, it seems they were repeating these stories and these events over and over. Actually, they passed these stories on to their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and eventually they were written down. And then they even made songs out of some of the, or many of these events about God's great deeds he had done on behalf of Israel. They made the psalms out of it, songs that they were singing. And you know, even if someone can't read them, and if many of them maybe have been illiterate, they still could learn the songs and sing about the great deeds that God had done for his people. Now, God was very serious about for the people of Israel not to forget what he had done for them. And God commanded them to pass them on. It was a commandment. Tell your children, tell your grandchildren, talk about it, sing about it. And God gives them the reason. It was extremely important. You know why? We read the reason in Psalm 145, verse 4, and Psalm 78, verse 5 and 7. God said, so that your children too will put their trust in the Lord. God wanted them to pass on the stories, what they learned about God, so their children and grandchildren and the generations to come will also put their trust in the Lord. Now, that's the reason why when we read something about these Israelites, they always start way back when they try to make a point. You know, we see Paul, he was defending himself. I mean, and Stephen, before he was martyred, he was, these people always start with Adam and Eve and Abraham, and then they go to Isaac and go to Moses, go this, in order just to make a point. You know, we here in America, we say, hurry up and get to the point. But these people, they always start way back. They recount the great deeds God has done, and they do it over and over. God commanded them, and it's ingrained in them not to forget these things. Now, one of the examples of recounting these things that God has done is the song, the Psalm 136. It talks about many of the experiences of God they had. And, you know, in this psalm and others, we read about the miracles God did in Egypt, and the miracles of the Red Sea dividing and freeing them from slavery, and how God was fighting on their behalf, how he cared for them, how he provided for them, and how he brought them in the promised land. It's all in this song. Now, when we look at the stories behind each of these statements they make in these Psalms, it wasn't that easy for Israel to go through these experiences. You know, they had to suffer for years and years in Egypt. And then when Moses came on the scene, they were not given any straw anymore, because Moses was telling the Pharaoh to let them go, and he said, well, they don't have enough to work. And then the wilderness experience, they suffered hunger and thirst, and they encountered enemies. And then the enemies they encountered, they didn't fall flat on the desert sand. They had to go to war. They had to fight them. And then they had to walk around this desert for how many years? It wasn't that easy experiences they were singing about. But, you know, when they were looking back on these experiences and they put that in these Psalms, they pulled out the things they learned about their God. You know, when you think about God, when God picked up Abraham, Abraham and his people were idol worshippers. And then this God spoke to him and said, okay, you leave your country and you go to a place that I will show you. He learned slowly about the God that had called him. He didn't know everything. Each time God dealt with him and he had a new experience, he learned a new truth. And the same is with the people of Israel. They knew some of the things that their fathers experienced, but there were a lot of things they did not know yet about God. And one of the discoveries they made is God is good all the time. This was a revelation for them. You know, they messed up. And we heard Sandy was talking about them worshiping the golden calf. And then what did God do? He forgave them. He decided to go with them, to lead them again. At that time, they did not know, when is God's patience going to run out? They didn't know, if God is angry, how long will he be angry with us? And how long is his kindness lasting? How many pounds of forgiveness he has in heaven? You know, we may have depleted it. And then what? They didn't know these things. But they made so many discoveries when they went through these events, and they wrote them down in the songs for us to remember. And one of these, I already said, is that God is good all the time, even if he has to punish us for our rebellion. He still is good. And then they discovered something else that was amazing. His loving kindness is everlasting. They didn't know. They knew he has loving kindness, but they didn't know how much. But each time they did something and messed up, his love and his kindness was still there. And it was always there, and he never ran out of it. So they wrote it down in their songs to pass it on to us. And then they found out everything, whatever he does, is rooted in love. He never does something that is not rooted in love. Even if we don't understand his reasons, it's still rooted in love. Now, these are incredible revelations these people made through their experience. They didn't know them before. And they are incredible treasures they preserved for their children and grandchildren so they also could put their trust in him. And they passed them on to us. We inherit these treasures of their discoveries about God. You know, we come to Sunday school when we are 2 or 3 years old and we learn, "For God so loved the world," and all that, and it becomes so common. For these people to discover that God is good, that God is love, that he don't run out of patience and loving kindness, they're amazing revelations. Other gods, they will run out of kindness. Other gods are only good for a few days or a few months, and then they go after you. You go to some of these countries like India and other places, you know, when people discover their God wants blood sacrifice, their God is happy today with you, but woe unto you tomorrow. If you do something he don't like, he will be after you to kill you. See, maybe we don't value so much what we know about our God, but the people of Israel, they wrote these things down and passed them on so we can put our faith in this God, and we have this wonderful, wonderful revelation as an inheritance from their experience. We are so rich. You know, we can learn these things without having to go through a Red Sea experience or through an experience of walking 40 days in the wilderness. We get to look into God's word and we can learn it from there and put our faith in it. Now, I want to look a little bit at this Psalm 136. How they were giving thanks to God. My Bible says, as a headline to this psalm, "Thanks for the Lord's goodness to Israel." And it starts out in verse 1, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting." And then it goes on, verse 2, "Give thanks to God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who alone does great wonders, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who made the heavens with skill, why? For his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, why? For his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who made the great lights, why did he make them? For his loving kindness is everlasting. The sun to rule the day, why? For his loving kindness is everlasting." And it goes on, and it talks about Israel in Egypt, "To him who smote the Egyptians in their firstborn." Why? For his loving kindness to Israel, to his people, is everlasting. "And brought Israel out from their midst." Why? For his loving kindness is everlasting. "With a strong hand and an outstretched arm." Why? For his loving kindness is everlasting. "To him who divided the Red Sea asunder." Why did he do it? For his loving kindness to his people is everlasting. "And made Israel pass through the midst of it." Why? For his loving kindness is everlasting. And it goes on and on and on about each of the deeds God did for Israel. And do you know why he did each of these deeds? Because his loving kindness is everlasting. Now, this is enormous treasure the people of Israel passed on to us, that God is doing everything he does for his people because his loving kindness to them is everlasting. Now you and I are his people. The things God does in your life, why does he do it? For his loving kindness to you is everlasting. And everything he did for Israel was done out of his love for them. Everything he done for you is out of his love for you. And in the end, the psalm ends, "Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his loving kindness is everlasting." You know, when people give thanks to God, like these people of Israel in this psalm, it helps them to point away from themselves and point to God. They could have easily said, "Oh, we are great people. We defeated Pharaoh. We done this. We are smart. We are bold. We can do all this. And we done all this great warfare." They came to the conclusion, it's all him, not us. And it kept them in humility toward their God. Think about your life. How often are we proud of our accomplishments, even our spiritual ones? But you know, everything God has done in your life, everything you are, is because he's good and his loving kindness is everlasting. It was all him who brought you this far. It wasn't you. Now, in the New Testament, it says that in everything we're supposed to give thanks. You know the verse, 2 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, that sounds really good when all is well in our life. When you made an A+ on your test, then it's easy to give thanks. When our children behave perfectly, when our husband brings us flowers and candy for our birthday. But what about when things go not so easy? Maybe if one of our children suffers from a serious disease. I don't know, a few years ago, think about this singer Curtis Chapman. Maybe you remember his oldest son, just before graduation, backed up the car in their driveway and ran over his little sister, and she got killed. Think about it. My mother got cancer when she was 89 and she died on it. It is very difficult to give thanks in everything when difficult things happen in our life, or if your son or your daughter is not walking with God. Yet God says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Or if someone betrays you, you trusted. If there are some marriage problems, or you lost your house because of foreclosure, or you lost your job, how difficult it is to give thanks to God. Now, God doesn't ask us to give thanks for everything, but in everything. God doesn't ask from a mother whose child is dying to give thanks that the child is dying, but she can give thanks in that situation. You know, when you go through a difficult time, you will realize you can give thanks to God, maybe not for this tragedy you are going through, but you can discover things that you learned. Your faith grew. God sustained me. He comforted me. He gave me strength more than I thought possible. I remember when my mother died, and 3 years later my sister died. You know, now this season before Christmas, I used to go to different stores and buy Christmas presents for them and all. And I find myself walk in a store and think, oh, I used to buy some things for my mom here or my sister here, and oh, they are gone, I can't buy it anymore. You know, I remember when my mom got sick, she was 89, and she got cancer, and she had to be 4 times hospitalized during that year, and 2 operations, and I spent a lot of time over there to be with her, and then I came a month before she died. And for us, it was very hard, you know, to see our mother suffer. And we prayed that the Lord would heal her, but he chose not to. And then she passed away. And I remember, you know, thinking, you know, give thanks to the Lord in everything. And then I was thinking about the time she passed away, and I found so many things I could be thankful for, even in that difficult time. And I wrote them down. Actually, I wrote it part in one of the letters to the sisters on the field. And I made a list of things for what I can be thankful for in that situation. And I want to say just a few of them to you. You know, I realized I can be thankful for. I know that my mother went to be with Jesus and I will see her again. And then, though she was so sick with cancer, she didn't have no pain. And we had her with us until she was almost 90 years old. I can be thankful for that. And then she was able to stay in her own home and die there. And she always wanted that, that she could stay in her place. And then we all were there when she passed away. And the Lord sent me at the right time back to Germany to be with her. And I was able to care for my mother. And I found so many, many things I could be thankful for, even in this difficult part. And then, of course, I had opportunity after she went home, you know, to share the gospel with some of my unsaved relatives. You know, when the New Testament says, give thanks in everything, we can look at these situations that are very difficult and we will find things to give God thanks for, to give thanks to God for, even when we go through difficult things. And that is the thing that the people of Israel experienced and passed on to us. Even when experiences are difficult, there are things we can give thanks for. And each of the things we can look back at and say, God did this for me because his loving kindness is everlasting. He brought me back to be with my mother at the right time. Why? Because his loving kindness is everlasting. My mother didn't have pain because his loving kindness is everlasting. We were with her when she passed away and we could tell her we love her. Why? Because his loving kindness is everlasting. Now, I have an application for you. You know, I said in the last session I took that everything that we find in God's word is for our instruction. And it is for our benefit. So we're supposed to learn something. And these people of Israel were commanded by God not to forget none of his benefits. And so they wrote them down, and after each sentence, they said, for his loving kindness is everlasting. He said, he done this thing for me because he loves me, because his loving kindness is everlasting. So I want to ask you, why you don't write your own psalm about your life? You can start out with a title, Thanks for the Lord's Goodness to Me. And then you start out like Psalm 136, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness to me is everlasting. And then you can write, he sustained me when I lost my job, for his loving kindness is everlasting. He made a way for me to come to this conference. Why? For his loving kindness is everlasting. You can write about your salvation. He saved me. Why? For his loving kindness is everlasting. He healed my child when my child was sick. Why? For his loving kindness is everlasting. He provided food for me when I didn't have a job. For his loving kindness is everlasting. He sustained me when I was all alone, when I went through very difficult problems. Why? For his loving kindness is everlasting. Dear sister, if you write your own psalm, you will be amazed how many things you will have to thank God for. And after each time, after each statement, write, for his loving kindness to me is everlasting. Now, you can use your own psalm and you can put it in your Bible, or you can put it in a book, and you can use this for your prayer time. When you are discouraged, pull it out and go through it. What God has done, just like the Israelites. You know, the Israelites always found strength by looking back what God had done for them in the past. They got strength from that to go forward. And you should do the same thing. Look back what God has done for you, and you will find strength to go forward in what you are about to face. Now, you remember David when he went against Goliath? He found strength in going against the giant by looking back and saying, God helped me with the bear and the lion, and therefore I can go against Goliath. See, that is the thing God wants us to do, to remember what he has done because he loves us, so we can go forward and have strength for the things to come. Now, when you feel overwhelmed, when you worry, when you doubt yourself if you can make it, you can just take out your psalm and you can go through and you can read in your own psalm what God has done for you, because his loving kindness for you is everlasting and because he is good. And then every now and then you can make your psalm longer and longer every year, add some more to it. It's your personal testimony and your reminder that God is good. He's good to you, and his loving kindness to you is everlasting. Now, I do not know if you have time during this conference to start your psalm. I have a little booklet at home where I have made some of these entries, and after each entry I write, "For his loving kindness is everlasting." And you know, when you start writing, you are amazed how many things will come to your mind. And when you, by the time you read it all through, like these Israelites, you know, by the time you are at the end of the psalm, you will say with David, "I can run upon a troop, and with my God I can leap over a wall, because his loving kindness is everlasting, because he is good." Shall we pray together? Lord Jesus, we thank you so very much that you are good and that your loving kindness toward us is everlasting. Lord, we remember so many events in our life where this is true. And Lord, when we look to the future, we know that everything we will face, you will be there right with us. You love us. You are good. And you will do amazing things for us, because your loving kindness toward us is indeed everlasting. Lord, we put our trust in you, and we are so grateful that you are unchanging, that your love is forever upon our lives. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.